Howdy, boys. And boy, howdy. Do we have an episode for you today? We're back designing video games. I'm here, of course, with Cowboy, Matthew Easdale.
I'm here.
I'm your host, Boy Harrison Cordell. Here to introduce a very special returning guest boy, Eli Nicholas.
Ew, back. And better than ever. All sorts of new features.
True.
Like
designing video games.
Designing video games, yeah.
Now, what's your video game to design, Eli?
My video game?
Also, credits to Cool Gangs Inc., the Reddit. It's a dead podcast, but not a dead fan base.
Oh, man. There's, you know, basically, something's coming back. Back in the day when I was sort of new to the whole, like, computers thing, you know, I'm talking 6, 7, 8 years old, Flash games were a real exciting venture into the world of video games. And one specific kind repulsed me more than anything else. And those were dress-up games.
I know where this is going.
A bunch of clothes on the screen.
To a very lewd caricature of a famous cartoon. Yes, I know that quite well.
Exactly. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. For those who don't, I am, of course, referring to Dress Up Yoda.
Yeah, that's good.
And that was, you know, that game really, I think, traumatized me in a couple ways. Mostly the fact that Yoda's voice just was kind of scary, you know?
Can you do an impression right now?
He didn't. Actually, no. No, I'm too traumatized to do that, Harrison, and I'm extremely offended that you asked me to. But...
Like the shoes I do.
Exactly. The way that my favorite Jedi Master, Yoda, the way that he described clothes and the clothes that you, the user, were putting on him genuinely repulsed me. But as much as I am repulsed,
big does my ass look?
I'm expecting that dress-up games will be making a comeback. And my all-new line of dress-up games will be called Fashion Rats.
Fantastic.
So, I know. It's exciting. It's an exciting new, hopefully long-running series of video games with all sorts of different rats that you could dress up in all sorts of different ways.
Really? What kind of different rats?
Oh, my goodness. I'm talking, like, normal brown-haired rats. I'm talking gray rats. I'm talking like,
these lab rats have weird deformities, like multiple heads?
Not till like the fourth or fifth game, I think. We'll start to bring that.
These are going to have like monthly sequels. Like we're going to release the first two like in the same week.
Well, naturally,
that's a roadmap.
I'm also hoping profitability is huge in the modern video games market. And so I'm really hoping to go hard on the microtransactions.
True.
It's going to be 99 cents. Per article of clothing. I'm talking $20.
Okay, so this is an online Flash game on like Kongregate and like Flash Grounds with microtransactions.
No. I don't think you understand. I was just mentioning the Flash games is like.
Okay, this is startup point. This is a mobile game. This is for the new Apple Arcade that doesn't allow microtransactions. You know, we're getting into phone games just in time.
I'm going to stop you right there. It's also not a mobile game. Releasing this game for $60 on the Steam PC game store.
Oh my god, okay.
Yeah.
The Steam store, okay. Not the Epic store. The Epic store we can get away with $60. That's Epic quality. That's a quality
posers.
Range.
I'm not willing to go that
we're
far.
We're posers. Of course we're posers. We're doing fashion. We're doing fashion rats. We're the ultimate posers. We need to be posers.
The whole gamer crowd is going to hate me enough for the microtransactions. If I just put it on the Epic store, I mean, it would be a little over the top.
Well, people don't care about microtransactions if it's cosmetic. And the way to win the game is cosmetics. So that's how we're going to get around it.
Exactly. Yes, there is a whole entire storyline and RPG element to Fashion Rats.
Like, is the most, like, high-level gear you can get the grossest, nastiest gear? Like, you start off with just, like, a regular, like, you start out as a pet-groomed rat, but then as you get down, you know, into the sewer, you realize, like, you're more of a person and you get more independence. You know, flushed-away style, that's the story. But that reflects that by how grody and disgusting your, like, attire gets.
Yeah, no, the whole Fashion Rats franchise is really revolves around the notion that looking gross is just kind of high fashion for the whole rat deal.
Okay. I can definitely get behind that.
Yeah.
What's one genre of clothing that's on a rat that's not on a person?
I am so glad you asked, Harrison. So, rats, one of the most disgusting things about small rodents is when they are involved in grisly accidents but continue to live on somehow because they can be very hardy.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of like the ultimate fashion step for a rat is to have its eyes gouged out. So,
ooh,
like, okay.
That's going to be a pretty hefty microtransaction on that. Generally, the eyes being gouged out is not huge in the sort of human fashion world. But for rats, having eyes gouged out and like filled in with like a felt, like small pieces of felt that are bright and colorful, that's going to be, you know, $40-$50 microtransaction
mm-hmm,
for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you know what? I'm hoping to sort of coin a term. I hope this becomes more more in common use. I am shooting not really for microtransactions. I am shooting for macrotransactions. $40-$50 for some of the bigger stuff. So. Yeah, I'm really a pioneer of the games industry at this point.
Kind of like Bernie Madoff.
Yeah, truly. So the title is just Fashion Rats. We're keeping that, correct?
Yeah,
we're absolutely keeping Fashion Rats. It's part of the brand.
Fashion Rats. I mean, it just describes the whole franchise.
Yeah, that's very good, Eli. Fashion Rats is our first game. But instead of getting to like the next game, I want to do a little segment I like to call Patch Notes, of course, with our classic Silent Z. Because we made a few mistakes. We didn't name most of our games, Matt. So, Eli, we're going to have to count on you to help us name some of these games. One of the first games we discussed was Helicopter Jousting, presented by Curtis Allen. In the last episode, we can really land on like a good title for that. And I still can't
land on a good title.
Didn't land on a good title. Hey, you got him.
Helicopter Jousting. So like, I need a little more. This needs to be fleshed out a little bit more for me before I come up with the title. Is it like a helicopter with like an old timey, like red and white striped lance, you know, like,
yeah, it has a full on lance. Your job isn't to knock down the other helicopter. Your job is to get the person out of that helicopter forcefully.
Oh,
so you can use a blade to swipe him out of the windshield if you're just right. Or you can take him down to the ground and then you have to plow into the ground to rip the helicopter around him out. Like, you don't win when the helicopter's destroyed.
Sure.
What about just like eject? Okay. Is that good?
Eject. Yeah,
dejected
like
in like a classic fantasy font. Actually, like that. Sure. Dejected.
And then whenever someone gets launched out of the helicopter, they do that GTA 5 death meme from like 5 years ago, or it's just like, ejected.
No. I imagine it's like a classic, just sort of like crappy, like computer game, like horn effect, like dun 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 dun. From Princess Bride, and it says dejected. I imagine it's something like that. We named Meat Saber, luckily. I think that was a very good game. Matt.
I'm not even going to ask.
It's very good. Basically, it's a game where in the movie theater, it's a fun urinal game with friends where you can meet in the bathroom, M-E-E-T. And then you can do Beat Saber at a urinal.
Oh, no.
It's a lot of control. No. It's very fun with friends. It's also to movie scores because it's a Regal premium tie-in.
It's like that one game they've introduced, like we pull out your phone and download this app, like before each movie, they'll do a little movie thing. That's just one of them.
Yeah, true.
Or MC Beat Saber.
We also did a game that was pretty close to our golden ticket last week to where it was a tooth fairy where you had to steal larger and larger bones.
Oh, my God.
And the title that came up for that was Femur Fairy. Matt, is that any good for your suggestion?
I mean, that's pretty good. I feel like it could be better, though.
I can't think of, like a better bone for a fairy to nab. You know what I mean?
That's true.
I feel like femur is good. Like funny bone, maybe, but
here we go.
That's a little too wacky. Yeah.
Bone to pick. because like you're pickpocketing, except
bone to toothpick.
Something okay. like that.
Bone to toothpick. Let's go with that. That's good. Okay. Also, we had a Christmas game that's about time traveling and replacing Santa and getting figgy pudding. That kind of got lost in translation. Let's just call that figgy pudding. Okay, that's our patch notes for this week. For the many people that sent in, so angry that we didn't do that. The so many people that wrote in. Boy, that was a lot, huh? Oh, we're having a very good listenership currently, and that's very good. Especially since you're about to be rewarded with a great next game suggestion. Matt, what are we making next?
Oh, here. Let me find the Reddit post so I can credit the people. But true. So, you too many bees reposted a post from Go Commit Die, which is a Roblox comic.
That's lost.
Illustrating a game called Insurance Scam Simulator.
Also, the comic itself is actually the comic Lost for those at home. The very legendary meme.
I like Insurance Scam Simulator, but it got me thinking, I think it could be better if it was Pyramid Scheme Simulator. I think that's a little bit more topical.
That is more topical.
You can kind of customize it more.
You can figure out what you're going to sell.
No, it's very topical because I think my cousin got hit pretty hard by one of those.
Exactly. Everybody's in a pyramid scheme.
I would say that we should open it up and be like a larger, you know, sort of con sort of themed game, you know, simulator.
So you're at the top of the pyramid.
No, hold on. No, that would involve more like development and money. So I don't want to do that. I changed my mind.
True.
We'll stick with the pyramid scheme.
I just imagine theme hospital just as a pyramid scheme type thing. It's another phone game. We're hitting the mobile market this episode a lot, I feel.
For sure.
See, this pyramid scheme simulator, you're selling like essential oils to people and trying to get people on board. And eventually you just get so in it and you're paying microtransactions to buy special oils and stuff. And then it turns out it's just actually a pyramid scheme disguised as a game. About pyramid schemes. And so then we're just running a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like you get
virtual essential oils to people.
Yeah, the way you get like progression in the game is by sending the game to other people. The main thing you have to do. Like they have to send it to 5 people and they have to send it to 5 people to get all the extras. But then everyone that your friend passes along to, you also get those rewards too. So you gotta be an early adopter.
Oh my god.
Exactly. We definitely don't mention the fact that this whole like exponential thing only works about 13 times because then you just surpass the population of the earth if you keep going up exponentially.
Yeah, true.
We don't mention that part.
Of course not.
No.
That kind of kills the fun.
Yeah. We here at Boys Club Vancouver are mostly just trying to get money, I feel like. That's at least in my position.
Yeah, we're just here for the bag.
As CEO, by the way, I don't know if I mentioned this. Yeah. The listeners should probably know I am the chief executive officer of Boys Club Vancouver. I seize out violent coup. Yes, I make the rules.
That's just how I'm
And so I've been taking a hard swing into heavy monetization and like I said, trying to coin macro transactions. So I love this pyramid scheme that you're proposing, Matt.
Yeah,
so let's try and bury this podcast, that way it doesn't come up in any legal issues or
you hear that, so
litigation that comes up later.
Harrison, we're gonna scrap the podcast. I'm sorry about that.
No, we are gonna scrap the podcast. So we have to tie the trails of the one person who started the game. I like to imagine just like the legend 27 just at the top of this pyramid.
Yeah. Matt, I'm excited about. Another thing, I hate to break it to you, but you are actually fired, and I'm gonna just take your game and develop it.
All right.
Oh yeah, that's fine.
All right then. Well, see you,
as
Matt.
Long as we edit this part of the podcast out in post, that way the blame doesn't come back to me.
Oh, absolutely, we will. So our second game, Wink, a hit game from user T3HN1NG4. There's a ninja somewhere in that name. So thanks, pal.
Slides off the tongue.
Link has to go out and drink with his friends, but has to pass a breathalyzer test in Legend of Zelda, Breath A the Lizer. So I think this would be a pretty good just sort of Nintendo fun Mario Party game where you get the better stats and scores the more drunk you are in the game. Like, you're not going to actually drink, but the more intoxicated you are in the game, it's like a really, you know, high balance to where you have to like get, you get stronger, more charismatic, but you also get, you know, a little bit less control, and you have to stay below the level to where you have to get past the breathalyzer at the end of like a dungeon. Let's just say you're just trying to get through a dungeon with some buddies. Wasted as hell. I think that's what would work well with that.
I think that would work. Just each level, like, none of the bosses get that much harder. It's just you just get progressively more inebriated.
Yeah, true. And, like, the bosses are just, like, narcs and stuff.
I love that. Okay.
And then you get pulled over, and the moral of the story is don't drink and drive.
All right, I have another game idea. I know I already used my slot. This isn't actually from the Reddit. I've just been doing a little thinking of my own, and I'm thinking that as a game studio, we should work on our next sort of like AAA high budget title. I'm thinking that we make a game. I'm thinking of calling it like, I think GTA 7, I think is what I'm going to go with. Now, I know what you're thinking. Grand Theft Auto, it's a game that's already been made by Rockstar. They've made it six times already, actually. Mm-hmm. But hear me out.
I think they've made it seven,
GTA
actually.
GTA 7. Oh, okay. I don't know. The latest iteration is GTA 5, right? So Rockstar, they're going to be, you know, really on the prowl for people who are trying to steal their licensed intellectual property. You know, they'll be looking for, if any, you know, like weird game studio, small, like unnamed, or no one knows about this game studio, releases a game called GTA 6, they're going to get on that and shut that down. That's why I'm thinking we go a step ahead of them. We release Grand Theft Auto 7. Really bank in on that Grand Theft Auto intellectual property and money. Rockstar, not even going to realize it because they'll just be looking for the people making GTA 6, you know? So we're just going to go step ahead of the game. Rockstar won't know what hit them. We'll just rack up those sales using the GTA brand.
Yeah, if I could change the title a little bit so that way you'd be more Vancouver-oriented, what about just Bully 3? Because Rockstar Vancouver, of course, made Bully 1.
Ooh.
So we can just get past Bully, because Bully deserves another game way more than GTA.
I like that so much. I'm going to rehire Matt Easdale back onto the team after that, Harrison.
All right, Matt, come back on.
Thanks.
Thanks for waiting in the corner there during our meeting. Yeah. It was kind of awkward just you watching our meeting from the corner, but I'm glad you can join back in. Matt, do you have another game suggestion?
There's just so many on here. All right.
True.
Okay, continuing with the simulator genre that I'm just all in with.
Incredible.
This time around. So it's called Youth Pastor Simulator.
Okay.
And your goal
is to blow off a podcast?
As a youth pastor. Pretty much. Your goal is to try and relate everything that you're talking about to just like pop culture references.
Sure.
So my inspiration for this was a Twitter post from H. Heoween, something like that.
sure.
And the tweet reads as so. Kids, we're having some fun today, but there's someone who spent a few fortnights in the desert before doing the ultimate T-pose.
Oh, man. So, Matt, I love the pitch. I'm not going to lie. I want to develop this game, but like I said before, I really want money. So you got to tell me, what demographic are you going to target this game at? Who are you trying to capture with your youth pastor simulator?
Okay, so we're targeting this at like angsty 13-year-old atheists.
Perfect.
Excellent. The like final boss of the game is going to be just like some angsty 13-year-old boy who's an atheist just sarcastically reading passages from the Bible
and who has like a Deadpool shirt, maybe a backwards cap with like a Family Guy word on it.
or like one of those like creeper hats or something like that, you know, just.
And the way you finish him is that you says, man, really busting my chops here. That really grinds my gears. And then that's what gets him.
Here's what I'm thinking. Since we're marketing it to 13-year-old atheists, the whole story is like a progression. You know, there's like a progression. But at the end, the youth pastor loses, right? Right. That way, way these 13-year-old kids feel like really like powerful and like, how, we beat the system.
I like where you're going with that. We can market it to young angsty atheists and have the, you begin as a youth pastor, but slowly over time you understand the philosophies of like Nietzsche and realize that God is truly dead, and then you sort of go into a large, you collapse into a horrible despair by the end of the game.
Exactly. And then for our macro transactions, we've got good. Of course, different apparel for the final boss to have. So, like creeper hat or Deadpool shirt.
Of course, like we have to get a lot of brand backpack. Deals.
I love the focus that you're putting on the final boss as far as aesthetics. Like, you're not buying apparel for your own character. You're buying it for the enemy at the end.
That you're going to fight once throughout the entire game.
True.
And that's the whole thing.
Like, the rest of the game is easy. It's just like an easy visual novel where you get to, like, just bond with everybody.
Exactly. Yeah,
Focus groups have shown that generally people are more pleased with their purchases if they spend a large amount of money and only use the item they buy for maybe 20 seconds.
Exactly. And then we kind of just hop on the Fortnite bandwagon and they can buy Fortnite dances that the final boss will use at the end to taunt the youth pastor when he finally defeats him.
Sure. Oh, another thing I should disclose to you as employees of Boys Club Vancouver, the focus groups do consist of just me. I am the focus groups, by the way.
Well, yeah, it's not like we have any listeners of the podcast, Eli.
Into the void.
True. And if I could bring your focus to something else, I think this suggestion would be a very good one. And a suggestion to go to an ad break.
Ooh. Great segue.
Mediocre segue.
Is this sponsored by Segway? Because that would be mad litty.
I hope so.
Howdy, boys. I'm just here to hop in before the ad break just to say thank you. The listenership has been growing pretty well. We're almost to 500 total plays in just the amount of episodes we had, which is not a lot. Apologies for that. Along with doing these voice chatting, it is insanely easier. We're going to be doing a lot more consistent podcasts. I don't want to promise a weekly schedule, but maybe look out Friday and Saturdays. Yeah, other than that, if you want to share around the podcast, be free to do that. That'd be great. We're going to do a lot more creative-based episodes, if you haven't noticed. We're really enjoying not doing reviews late. And I think you'll enjoy it more too, doing more creative stuff, more involvement with you as well. Please do write in. SilentZwasTaken@gmail, at DJ/M for my Twitter and Instagram. Just send in your suggestions and just feedback at all. Mostly for video game stuff. We'll do a lot of video game stuff if you want to pass this around to like some Reddits that way. Also, we're bringing back the Anchor support. This podcast is with Anchor, and it has in the description, you'll see Anchor support. And I guess I'm comfortable announcing that if we get to $300, I will watch and review the film Meet the Spartans 300 times. It seems like an all right deal for an all right amount of money that will really help out with the podcast and other creative ventures. Also, huge thank you to Relax Alex for making this bomb-ass jam Feels Like Sunshine. It's really great. Check out his channel. Check out his sub-channel where some songs he's made is on there. Also, some other great bits. He's a great channel. Go watch it. Also, a huge thank you to all of you who are listening so far, and hope you enjoy the rest of the app.
Hi, welcome back to Boys Club Vancouver.
Hold on, do that again, Harrison.
No, I won't do that again.
No, Matt was talking over you.
We gotta add the part where I'm texting my mom. I'm texting her very late. I have a night class because she asked me what time I'm getting home.
Did you mention to her that you were fired from your job and subsequently rehired?
Nah, I'll just keep that to myself.
Speaking of being late, we should get to our next game suggestion. This comes from a random video game generator posted on the Reddit. And I think it'd be very interesting to see what we can come up with this sort of non-titled idea. Could I get a number?
69.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11,
Matt,
12.
Matt, 13, I don't 14, appreciate 15, 16, the lewdness 17, 18, in this place of work. 22,
23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28,
29. If you're going to use the number 69, it needs to be used at least multiple times and potentially with a sort of 420 move in, you know, sort of just sort of counteract
dollar signs.
Plenty of dollar signs.
59.
Harrison, 60. You know I don't like inefficient employees. What's the holdup?
66? 66. You can count along, guys. It's a little bit lonely doing it all the way over here by myself. 68?
69. Oh, man.
69.
Not...
Okay.
I can only count to 14, so you lost me a while ago.
And that's why you're on this team.
Exactly.
I only hire the best game developers.
Because to develop games, I only need ones and zeros.
I love the idea that you create games by just typing binary into a computer.
You just see me just like at a computer with just like the one light in a dark room, just furiously typing two keys, just ones and zeros. Just
you have a custom keyboard that is just, it's the same size as a normal keyboard, except it has two massive keys
two
on
massive
it. Just say zero and one.
Seven, eight,
and I'm just playing them like bongos, just insert some bongo noises there, I guess. Put that in a post.
Okay, our game here is an indie game where you fall in love with the laws of physics. Metaphorically.
Right,
so I imagine this is another mobile visual novel featuring gravity, states of matter.
I didn't think visual novel at all, but I like where this is going.
Okay.
But hold on.
By the way, the title of this game is States of Matter. States That Matter.
States of the matter. Okay, that's good. That's good. And I know that you're trying to flesh out the game right now. So you have the title. You're starting to work with it. I would suggest before you sort of start fleshing this game out, I would appreciate it if you could just begin with whatever macro transactions you hope to include in this game. I think that should be our starting point.
The sex scenes.
All right. Yeah. That's no. You got it on the first try. That's yeah. All right.
So yeah, that's a good warm up from the ad space. Eli, what's your game? Mr. CEO, let's make money. Microtransactions, man. Battle royales is probably what we have to go for. I've seen a few battle royale.
I would like to make a battle royale.
Is there any on the docket?
Yeah, I'm thinking like too many battle royales focus on the young crowd. Either, and by young crowd, I mean I'm talking about people under 47 years old.
Yes.
I'd like to make a battle royale game that's really geared towards late middle age. I'm feeling like, you know, Fortnite skins. Oh, that's all the rage. All the kids are loving their Fortnite skins.
True.
It's all about the Fortnite skins. That's all I'm hearing these days. And as a CEO of a game developing company, I like to keep my ear to the ground. And so I know that battle royale skins are the hot new commodity among the youngsters. But what I don't see enough in Fortnite skins is plaid. I don't see plaid, and I don't see like different patterns of plaid on top of each other. So, I mean, I think this is really an untapped market, both the above 47 year olds and plaid on plaid. So I'm thinking along the lines of a battle royale game with just a lot of plaid. I don't really have a title for it yet, but I mean, focus groups consisting of me have, you know, shown over and over again that the over 47 crowd really into plaid.
Okay, so you just pitched a thing called Plattle Royale?
Plattle Royale, that is exactly it.
So I imagine...
You know what's great, Harrison?
Yeah.
That is not what I had in mind at all for the title, and it worked out perfectly. Yeah. Plattle Royale.
Sometimes it just kind of comes together.
It really does.
That was beautiful.
As does a plaid shape. So is the goal of the game making as much plaid as possible or featuring as much plaid as possible?
No, the goal of the game, I don't understand, Harrison. The goal of the game is buying as much plaid as possible with real money that goes to our game studio.
So basically you put 100 people in a shopping mall and you just have to. Are we gonna do like fun zany mini games, or are we just gonna do a blood sport to where you just get money for kills and then you can change that for plaid?
No, you don't understand, Harrison. The only way to get money in game to buy in-game money with real life money, and the way that you win the battle royale is to purchase the most plaid.
Okay, so the best way to win plaid royale is to just access like the in-game store as fast as possible and just pray to God for a better internet.
I would describe it as aggressively pay to win. As in,
you know,
the
person
who pays the most money wins the game.
What about a non-aggressive plaid royale where everybody just puts in their bid, right? But if you don't put in the highest bid, you've already lost. So you just gotta find the mid-range between a good bid. Is like, oh man, I'm looking at this guy's purchase history, where you go up against a guy who won a battle plaid royale for putting in $300 to plaid products.
All right, Harrison, I hear what you're saying. I pitched an aggressive pay to win system. You're pitching a non-aggressive plaid purchasing system. I think we can meet in the middle and create a game system that is sort of passive aggressively pay to win.
Yeah, you're definitely pitching like the Chad version of this game.
You need to wear down the other players by constantly making snide remarks that you can sort of get away with. Mostly about how little plaid they're wearing, or how that plaid seems a little over the top. I don't mean to be rude.
You don't see player names, like player handles. You only see the amount of money they put into the game. It's a random amount to where it could be the total number of the game. It's like, oh man, I got to really drive up prices. Or it could be just that game in general.
That's an excellent money making idea, Harrison.
You know, that's like a modifier. You show your money from all past games, and you have a set amount of time to just really try to gauge how much money you need to put in.
If there's anything that will appeal to the over 47 boomer crowd, it's showing off your personal wealth.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the point of any good game, is just to flex on everyone who's around you.
Exactly.
I would like a fake out currency where you can buy flannel currency, but you can't extend it for anything. It's a worthless currency that people accidentally buy. It's a little silver coin to the golden plan. Yes.
And have it, don't even make it, so have it be right next to the normal currency. So make it look like a premium currency. And then people will be like, oh, about
see,
a premium
you
currency.
Start off with 10 plaid, but you start off with 5 flannel.
Exactly. People are like, oh, the flannel must be the better currency. They buy a bunch of it, then realize it is absolutely worthless.
It's just completely
spend
worthless.
Spend the same amount of money on our macro transaction.
Oh, that's really great. Matt, do you have a game suggestion?
I do. Let me scroll up a bit and see if I can re-find it to give credit to...
Give credit to those lovely gamers.
Well, here, I'll start describing it, and I'll probably see it here in a sec. Smash Bros style fighting game.
Okay.
Or Mortal Kombat or something like that. Just, classic 2D fighting game. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Except this one is called Founding Fighters, where you play as different founding fathers of our great nation.
Okay.
Because I'm proud to be an American. And you fight each other.
All right.
So you play as Thomas Jefferson go up against Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah.
And you battle it out with your fists over whether or not to establish a central bank.
But the thing is, what if we didn't have to battle it over fists, but the fists of American troops? So I like to think, depending on the amount of leeway that political figure had, you would have the most people to take on, because if anybody goes up against Andrew Jackson, they're dead. He's taken multiple shots to just the head.
It's just him, but
and is the best
he's
American
just got
president.
His cane and he just beats the shit out of him.
Just an unkillable final boss. I love it.
True. Yeah. But you have to get the most followers. Again, I do love the every single mechanic from Watch Dogs 2. So you have to amount the right amount of followers to, get some good stacks and sacrifice some American lives for the greater good of your political campaign.
This comes from our boy, user Squid Pope, who I think I used at one of his suggestions in the last video. And he's all over this.
He's a high flyer for sure.
High flyer. Yeah. Anyway,
deep swimmer,
I was about to ask Matt, I love where Founding Fighters is going. I would like, I'm curious, what are some of these sort of like finishing moves that you want to put in here?
All right. So say you're playing as Ben Franklin.
Yes.
And like, let's say this is kind of like a Mortal Kombat style game. You've just finished off fighting George Washington, let's say, for the sake of this example. You're about to use your fatality. You do up, down, right, left, A, B. And that's when Ben Franklin whips out his kite, throws it in the air with the key attached to it, and then just lightning strikes his opponent to finish it off. And
how violent like is this brawler? Because I imagine the key would just be lodged into them, just like right in the neck.
Pretty much all that's left is just a charred corpse and some wooden teeth.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it's like the 17, 1800s. Things were pretty gruesome back then.
Yeah.
This is America, and we love violence.
We're metal.
Exactly.
If I may suggest my own finishing move, let's say you're playing as, like, Henry Clay or something. I definitely feel like, as a finishing move, you hit up, down, 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 left, down, down, and all of a sudden you get John C. Calhoun as like a double with you. They both morph into Lord of the Rings style massive birds of prey and just screech like Warhawk, so just devour their opponent.
Yeah, and I imagine like the finishing move for like William Henry Harrison would just be to just give the other person pneumonia 31 days into this term. I feel like that would be a pretty good move.
After the Warhawks do their finishing move, they don't like win. The screen just says no one wins because they started the War of 1812. Everybody loses.
Yeah, JFK is a tricky one as well, because like you could have like one of your Secret Service guards like shoot the other person, but most likely they'll probably shoot you by accident, and then the government will have to cover that up.
Well, speaking of that, here's what I was thinking for macro transactions, and I'm thinking like a bunch of just like release day DLC too, because everyone loves that, where it's kind of like Mortal Kombat where you unlock like new characters and stuff that don't entirely like fit in, you know, like Jason Voorhees and Mortal Kombat and stuff like that, where you've got not necessarily like founding fathers, but just like major figures like JFK or Abraham Lincoln or our president right now, President Trump. His final move is he just
bankrupts the entire,
and you gotta pay for it. If you're playing against someone playing as Trump and he wins and builds a wall out of you, you've got to pay him money.
I think
you got to pay him $5. Just like there's like a 25% chance where if you land a hit on Trump, he just says fake news and that hit doesn't do any damage.
Does no damage when you're playing as Trump.
Or double damage.
If you're fighting Abraham Lincoln as Donald Trump, not only do you kill Abraham Lincoln, but you also massacre his legacy.
You Pan Cook presents the idea of a horror game where you play as a masked serial killer that stumbles on to a body snatcher style alien invasion. Now, how does this make money, you ask, Eli? This is an Animorphs game.
Okay.
Big brand tie-in, dark sort of Animorphs game, to where I picture just like one of those kids that are, you know, always in every type of horror story, to where they're kind of wrong in the head, so they shoot birds and like taxidermy birds. So this kid just shoots a bird with a BB gun out of the sky, and then when it falls, it's like a kid.
Oh my god.
So
this is horrible.
It's like a kid, but he's like stuck in that like half state of like a bird and a kid on the Animorphs core, where he's the middle one.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and this is crazy.
Into that.
This is a horror game.
Because, Animorphs is just like a body snatchers like story. Have you guys like read any of Animorphs?
I've not read any Animorphs.
Well, neither have I, but I've heard like the whole story offhand, and it's insane. So these kids just have like Animorphs powers because like one of the leader's kid is like a hawk or whatever because he's cool and whatnot.
Of course.
But it's revealed that his mother is actually just like one of these aliens that have come in and try to morph into humans. And it's like this big alien plot where they have to like beat him. And like the leader one like has to sacrifice himself, so he dies as a bird, but then he like resurrects somehow, but he can't transform into a human anymore, so he transforms into other animals. And I just love the thought that like you just as like this, because like an adult killing kids, that's kind of creepy, but a kid killing kids, that's an interesting story. To where you have to, like, as a kid, you have to decide, like, oh, I have to save, like, my town from these evil body snatchers, like aliens, invaders. So you have to, like, go around and try to find animorphs and kill them. But, you know, they'll try to get you.
Right. Let me get this right, Harrison. So you are proposing a game in which, granted, your character is a kid, the people who are playing the game may not be, but the goal of the game
is to murder children. Their game is to stop aliens. It's basically just a Power Rangers game where you gotta just bash other...
Okay.
It's like the same age bracket.
Okay, okay, Harrison. I know you just, you mentioned the Power Rangers intellectual properties, and I need to ask, will there be Megazords in this game?
No, but the microtransactions, you have to pay to become an Animorph.
Okay.
You have to pay for the better ones. Like, you can turn into, like, a dainty bird or, like, a tiny little rat, but you pay more money to turn into a fashionable rat.
Okay, so just, and by fashionable rat, you, of course, mean a thing broke.
No, you have to get, like, the fashion rat, like, form that, like, gives you, like, max charm to get past any location and, like, get past any adult and officer. You do have to put $500 into at least 2 fashion rat games available on the Apple iStore.
Okay, I understand. So it's sort of a cross.
Yeah, there's a lot of cross branch. Yeah, this is a very, you know, brand heavy game that does have a pretty good atmosphere. And I think it just would be a good game, just like a good isometric. Just sort of trying to take down other aliens. Like, it doesn't have to kill them, but it, like, you do wound them and, like, take care of them.
Yes, and you know me, Brand Heavy is my middle name. My name is Eli Brand Heavy Nicholas.
No, yeah, I see that on the Discord chat. It actually takes up a lot of space.
Yeah. Exactly. Because it's also in huge font, because he's CEO. And so it's really hard to go through the chat when you've got to scroll up, like, 5 times to get past Eli, the Brand Happy Manager. Because, you know, it takes up, like, 8 lines, too. And
yeah. I like to imagine this game is, like, a very good, like, you know, horror game that's, like, very, you know, isolated, weird, as you're just a creepy kid trying to stop an alien invasion. Nobody believes you except, like, the town bully you got to team up with and, like, the girl you know at school. And then you got to find a common ground by, you know, saving the world and everything. But the absolutely game-breaking, like, DLC, this is, like, the motorcycle from Breath of the Wild that's just, like, a... just alien robot horse. And Breath of the Wild, one of the DLCs was just a motorcycle that was shaped like a horse. And also a Nintendo Switch shirt. I think console exclusive DLC is what's going to really be popping. Like, you'll be able to, on the iTunes store, this game will be, have like a really crappy, like, visual novel. No. Like a, just like beat 'em up brawler on iTunes, Stranger Things style, to where you can form into like an Angry Bird or something. But on Xbox, you can transform into, like, a creepy little, like, Gears of War, like, spider thing that they have.
Okay, okay. You pitched me a very very fleshed out game at this point, but I wouldn't be doing my job at game developers company, like, CEO. I wouldn't be doing my job correctly if I didn't take this idea you've given me and totally rip the heart and soul out of it and then make it into a shell of its former self. So as a brand happy manager, I definitely think we should do some cross-branding. You had mentioned the Power Rangers earlier, and I like your whole Animorphs idea, stripped of the Animorphs brand, obviously, but I would like to basically get rid of most of the things that you've said and just make this like a Power Rangers game. How would you feel about that?
I'd feel wrong, because the title of it is Animorph Transactions.
Animorph Transactions. Okay. That is a good title. How about, I have a better title, Power Rangers Transactions.
No.
Oh, excuse me. Did you just say no?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I have to.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at the
fired again.
The document I'm looking at right here. And that's just kind of, I mean, I wrote it down, so I can't really erase it.
Oh no. Okay.
You know, let's just find our golden ticket. This golden ticket is what we're going to actually produce for real. This is going to rocket us to, you know, big boy gaming publishing levels. We're probably going to be bought up by, like, I don't know, EA. They'll give us plenty of money. I have a list here of the games we come up with. I'd love to know, like, the golden ticket we're going to go with.
I think our golden ticket game is Willy Wonka Chocolate Factory Simulator, where the goal is to kill as many children in candy-related ways as possible.
You see, you kind of just stole my thing.
Yeah,
and I feel a little bit hurt by that.
Along with the child killing theme. But it also adds in some branding.
Harrison started down the child killing road, and I asked him, like, is this game going to involve murdering children? And he said no, and I was extremely disappointed by that. So this,
well, these are alien children. Excited, it doesn't count. They're alien children.
I'm extremely excited that you want to murder children in a video game. That's really what I've been looking for this whole time.
See, Harrison just went like right up to the line without crossing it, and then I just ran up behind him and just pole vaulted over him and the line,
and just stabbed a kid with a candy cane,
and just landed right in a dumpster of content. And that's where I pulled out this game idea.
Visionaries pulled off the line. Yeah, Harrison, I hate to break it. I was really looking for a game in which children are being murdered. So I'm going to have to go with the Willy Wonka simulator. Although I would like to cross brand it with Power Rangers in some way. I feel like that's really marketable with the kids. And this, I mean, the thing is, we can make really well thought out, fantastic games. We can do that. But we can't rip mad velocities in these games.
That's very true.
Really thought out and nice.
Yeah.
And so if we can just really get rid of all that, some Power Rangers branding, and use our Zords to rip mad velocities. That's all. That's really all I care about.
That's very important. Let's figure out, you know, we'll work Power Rangers into our golden ticket. That'll be for sure. Featuring the Power Rangers, we could either have Fashion Rats, Pyramid Scam Simulator, Bully 3, Zelda Breath Analyzer, Youth Pastor Simulator, States That Matter, Plattle Royale, Founding Fighters,
Classic.
Anamorph Transactions, or Willy Wonka Simulator. What should be our golden ticket? I'm a little bit more partial to Anamorph Transactions, but I do think we can flesh out States That Matter. I think there could be a little bit something more to that personally.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit more close to my chest, but yeah, I personally vote Anamorph Transactions, but you know, this is a studio, this is a very collective, just sort of dictatorship at this point. Mm-hmm. And what do you guys think?
I'd have to go with the one that'll make us the most money, and the stated goal of Plattle Royale was to get old people to pay us a lot of money.
Okay, but that's also with the Power Rangers, so. Okay.
Oh, that's right. I did want to integrate Power Rangers.
You know what? Plattle Royale is our gold ticket. Let's flesh that out a bit more over the next few minutes.
All right. And so the goal with our golden ticket is to take our game and integrate the Power Rangers. All right.
Absolutely. Matt, how do we integrate the Power Rangers?
Just instead of having just the solid color Power Rangers, we've just got plaid Power Rangers. You know what I mean? So it's just like,
it's so simple.
Red Scottish print plaid ranger power, or whatever.
Yeah. All the boy ones have kilts and all the girl ones have a normal suit, because we're going to be very progressive in Plattle Royale. There's going to be a really good female representation.
And
that definitely won't backfire.
Like, we're going to be bending our foot.
True.
Oh my goodness. All plaid Power Rangers. It's beautiful.
What's plaid related Zords? We need to figure this out right now. I'm thinking like,
just like
a coffee maker is one
Scottish
Zord.
Man.
A coffee maker.
I did like, I don't know, you guys were talking over each other a little bit, but Matt did just say a massive Scottish man. And I need to make sure everyone hears that was Matt's suggestion.
Yes.
A massive Scottish man. Okay. I like the idea of their Megazord being like, it is a massive Scottish man, but they don't actually become that because they're all like plaid. You know, they're driving around their plaid little Zords and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they come together just only to make the kilt. And there is actually just a giant Scottish man who
they just call
on
him
at any
like,
time will come.
Yeah, they just call him like an ancient deity. I don't know. I think the only way we should be able to work in like the Scottish angle, personally, like Power Rangers has a very Japanese influence. We have to really change that to really appeal to this sort of new brand. So I think instead of like really cool like karate action just in like a forest or whatever, it's just the Plattle the we'll just call them Power Rangers, of course. They're just going to be in like barroom brawls. Just like drinking meads, just trying to just drink booze out of their silver mouths and just really just have a good ballroom brawl. I think that's the Scottish angle we can be working with. I think we have to be more hipster. We have to be more true to the plaid than the Scottish in the Zord. That's just what I'm thinking.
More hipster. Well,
that could work too.
Because that's the most money. That's the most scammable market.
Exactly. Because
they're going
to
love this game.
This game is going to reach a very limited audience. And so who better to target than people who love things
that have a limited
audiences?
Oh. Yeah, exactly. Because I feel like the first 10 minutes of the match, you have to buy as much plaid as possible, and then you have to go around and steal it from other people.
I mean, we've obviously shown throughout this episode we don't mind some criminal aspects to our games.
I mean, it's not criminal if they exceed the terms of use. I mean, that's just going to be... It's going to be...
Shifting away from the boomer crowd and towards hipsters, especially because hipsters really still dig watching, you know, a lot
Power Rangers. It's ironic Power Rangers. We're going to get the ironic crowds for Power Rangers. Also the nostalgia crowd for Power Rangers, which is even more useful.
Exactly. And nostalgia and irony is pretty much all you need to be a hipster.
Yeah. And all the villains are going to be like, you know, Power Rangers, but with like a plaid twist. Like instead of Goldar, it's plaid Goldar. Which should work really well with audiences. Yeah, and the Zords are going to be... What's a hipster machines? We have to come up with five to make a mega robot.
They're all typewriters because they can't use a screen.
No. They can't all be typewriters. Right. The typewriter should be the leg, I think.
Typewriter is
no, the leader
leg.
Is the typewriter. He's the artist. Okay. He's got to be the leader. Sure. One of them's a coffee machine. I got to stand by that.
Okay. Yeah.
Frappuccino machine. Like that's better.
Espresso. Yeah. Sure.
Espresso machine. Yeah.
Espresso.
It could be something for lame woodworking for the plaid aesthetic.
Ooh. Yes.
Or like a craft beer.
A craft beer. Yes.
Just a barrel.
Just like a distillery. Just like a big old. Distillation.
It's like a really like sketchy home distillery that someone made.
What if it's just like a wooden barrel?
Pack videos.
Just rolling around in a wooden barrel.
Sure,
that'd be good. It has to be retro tech. It can't just be
wooden barrel.
It can't be too robotic. They have to have some retro tech to it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's like, say, an espresso. That's they care about, you know, their coffee and their typing. Like, we got a typewriter. We got a wooden barrel for one. Our fourth one could be.
It's got to be riding one of those, like...
A penny farthing?
Yeah, just like those ones with the big wheels in the front.
Yes. A penny farthing bicycle.
I'd like to imagine there's no legs, just one penny farthing. That's really big. Oh. It's a unicycle.
Okay.
Type of penny farthing.
Harrison. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You mentioned that we should ditch the Scottish market earlier. Now, what is the common thread between hipsters and Scottish people? That's right, it's bagpipes.
Yes.
There will be bagpipes as part of the Megazord.
Okay, no, I think that's just like some of their weapons are just different sort of.
They just play bagpipes so loud
because,
and so
as seen
bad,
in you know Classics bagpipes. Episode 2, which probably be released at some point. That in Turbo Power Rangers movie, they all have like swords and like other kind of car related things that all shoot lasers, like all of them do. So we have a bagpipe that shoots lasers, and we have like a switchblade comb. That shoots lasers,
mm-hmm.
and possibly, man, we
a
are
typewriter that shoots lasers.
A typewriter that shoots lasers. The typewriter one that drives the typewriter also has to shoot a typewriter, and they're all just like really annoying fonts. Like they're all Times New Roman, or
oh, God,
one of like the special moves can be just. One of the characters just tries to explain what makes good kombucha to the other person, and then they just,
and then they just shatter.
That'll just destroy the other person.
They're just will to live, just breaks.
Or they explain why their screenplay is going to be great.
Absolutely.
With like some super niche philosophy references.
It's all about the duality of social media. It's about like the sort of mental tax it takes to just, you know, be super popular.
In some ways, it's anti-social media.
One of them just has, like, throwing shurikens that are hashtags. That'd be good.
Oh, God.
And the last sword could possibly be like an old type of, would a camera be any good? Just like a giant walking, like old timey cranking.
Or like a Polaroid.
Not even a Polaroid. With a cloth that you throw over your head.
Yeah. And then you only get one chance in an hour to set the gunpowder right. Would that be a good Zord? I don't know. I feel like there's a better Zord than... What's a record player maybe? Where you have to, like, you're driving, but then, like, the seat on it...
I just love vinyl.
Yeah.
Or it's just a very large indie band.
Just stage playing, like, an indie band that changes their name every level.
It's just randomized games.
I like the picture just, like... I think the last Zord, because of how big the vinyl is, I think the last Zord should be just like a normal, just sort of like just rectangular, like record player. But the seat is on a rotating record where you have to try to drive that along with it. I feel like that'd be a very funny Zord.
I don't know about you two, but I'm extremely happy with the cross branding and the final Golden Ticket game we've come up with.
Yeah. And the Zord itself is just a robot. It's just a robot with like plaid coloring. Like, it doesn't even look like a typewriter or even a record player. It just looks like a transparent plaid filter over a regular Zord.
We spent Megazord. So long designing this Megazord, only to have it just circuitously come back to being a normal robot again.
That's every Power Rangers. It's like, yeah, we'll do a jungle theme or like a wizard theme. And then when it all combines into like this Megazord, it'll be a robot. Nothing.
It's so boring.
It'll be whatever robot footage we get from Japan.
All right.
I think to really maximize profit on this Golden Ticket game too, I think every like 3 minutes we should stop gameplay and just play a couple ads.
Oh my goodness. This is hard for me to do. I've made so many friends here at Boys Club Vancouver, and it's been an interesting tenure. But I will be I will be stepping down as CEO, and replacing me will be Matt Eastdale. Playing ads during the game. Oh my! I don't know how I didn't think of it. Honestly, I'm stepping down in disgrace, in shame that I did not think of
it. Yeah, but the way it does that is that. Like, it's like a third person perspective, just like, you know, you can't have a first person or a third person perspective, but you're always like character is always along with like a gun or like a plaid, just sort of related weapon. You have to hold a phone that's playing a constant ad loop
that you would see on this loop of ads.
Yeah. So, Matt, here is the CEO crown for a Boys Club Vancouver. You're now the dictator. Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Wow.
And my
gamers
my
rise first up.
Exactly. And my first move as dictator. Ooh, I never thought I'd be in this situation. I kind of feel like I should just like fire myself because that's.
Well,
been
I mean, I'm sure there's like one final game. I mean, you can just greenlight any normal game. You don't have to have a Golden Ticket. What are we greenlighting, CEO true. Matt?
We're going to greenlight Founding Fighters.
Oh,
because. I came up with that one, and I want to feel successful.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Greenlight that one.
And now I can't argue. That's
exactly.
Founding Fighters was an excellent idea.
No, that's true. That's what
and
a CEO does.
You better
does.
Not argue, because I will cry.
No, that's totally right. Oof. All right. So I guess that's the podcast and the era of Eli Nicholas. We'd like to thank you for your work as a CEO. We'd like to congratulate Matthew Eastdale for... taking the rank of CEO. And there's no thanks to be given to Harrison Cordell.
Exactly.
And that's the end of the podcast. Thanks, you boys, for coming along.
And boom, end the podcast.
Thanks for logging in, gamers. As we say at the end of every Boys Club Vancouver,
the game is to play games and make
up games. Put games in the game hole.
Okay. Keep games in those game holes, everybody. See ya.
Keep it frosty. Yeet.